Praise the Lord.
It's wonderful to be in the presence of the Lord with the brothers and sisters. It's been my privilege to come and spend time with you. So let's go to the Word. I chose a text from the book of Romans, chapter 6, and then Romans chapter 7, two portions of the scripture we're going to read. And then we'll ask the Holy Spirit speak to us. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 5, first portion. The title of the message is the two questions we have to answer. And what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We die to sin. How can we live in it any longer? Or don't you know that all of us who are baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. For if we have been united with him like this in his death, we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. Now, the chapter 7, verses 1 through 6. Do you not know, brothers, or I am speaking to men who know the law, that the law has authority over a man only as long as he lives? For example, by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. So then, if she marries another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from that law and is not an adulteress, even though she marries another man. So my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit to God. For when we were controlled by our sinful nature, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in our bodies, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Amen. Yeah, shall we bow our heads one more time, and then let's depend on the Lord, ask the Holy Spirit to come and then speak to us. Oh Lord, thank you for your words tonight, Lord. I know this sounds a hard words, Lord, but they all give us an understanding so that we will be freed from these bondages, Lord. They can easily entangle us, Lord. So they set your people free tonight. Oh, Jesus, I ask you, dear, as you promised that when the sun sets free, you are free indeed. So set us free tonight, Lord. Oh, Father, we are so thankful for. And Holy Spirit, I need you. I need your unction, Lord. So help me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So in Christian life, there are always two things. And then actually lingers. So you all know, you are very familiar with the parable Jesus talked about, the gospel look. The prodigal son. The younger son wanted to have a wild living, fulfill his desire. That satisfies his sinful desire. And he left a father's house. As far as he could go, long distance, he went, and then he squandered all this, but he came to senses, and he came to the father. How about, on the other hand, the other brother stays home, so self-focused, selfish. If you read his response to the father when this younger son came back, and he had no love for his brothers. This your son, one of son of yours, did this and that, and the I, my, me, mine, he does that all along. You can find it. And the self-focused, even the self-pity that he was bringing in. So actually, as God's people, we do struggle. These are elements that we do have in our life. So here, Romans chapter 6 we read, verses 1 through 5, is telling us this is the heart of those who want to have a wild living away from God. Even though you are a child of God, but this is all for the believers, actually. Of course, Paul is writing. This is for the Christians. But you do have the element in your heart. So they examine your heart. That's what he's saying. So what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that after all this grace of God, union with Christ, and the justification, and that your Heavenly Father already glorified you in his mind, and then all this, then can we sin more so that the grace may abound, so that the God's glory will increase in our lives. So this sounds pious, but this is the logic here, I believe. But the Apostle Paul says, by no means. We died to sin, which means I'm not dead to sin. We died to sin, Holy Spirit says. And we are not, it doesn't say we are dying to sin or we should die to sin. It doesn't say that. A group of people believe we need to modify ourselves and die. We need to die, but the Apostle Paul clearly write that down, that we died to sin. How that happened? How we died to sin? Yeah, this is the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul is explaining. We, at the moment we come to Jesus, every one of us, 100 years ago or 300 years ago, even the present time, whenever people come to Jesus Christ, they go through time travel. That's what Paul is saying, time travel. So that in the heavenly realm, so taken to that person to the point of the cross. So at the cross, the person witnessed his very sin, and then his all these get crucified on the cross. And then Jesus was buried and risen again, and he go through the same experience. That's what he's saying. That is what born again means. Where is the birthplace? At the cross. So when sinners come to the cross, we are literally coming to the cross watching Jesus is dying on the cross. Naked. Giving his life. Pouring out his love. Forgiveness. And then at the moment, the Spirit brings a new birth, born again. That's what the Bible calls a baptism of the Spirit. Another term the book of Acts uses, a baptism of the Holy Spirit, is empowerment. That's another word. But this is at the moment we born again, at the cross. Every one of us who turned to Jesus had been there. You all have made a time travel. And then Holy Spirit did amazing work. That's who you are. So we died to sin. That's what the Apostle Paul boldly proclaims. Then how can we live it any longer? That's what he says. And then he continues. How do we know then? When Spirit gives us a new birth, we don't have our five senses cannot detect this change. Then how do we know? Then that's what it is, the baptism you go through. Jesus commanded us baptize people. You've gone through this. Some of you haven't gone through. Then I urge you to go through this. That's what happened to you actually. But this is a picturing what happened in the spiritual realm when a person is born again. So we die to sin as we immerse into the water. And then you come out and then rise with Jesus. Resurrection power is given to you. And then over the run, especially we in baptism, and then we dunk people in water. That has a very meaningful, because not only this baptism has a meaning of dying with Jesus and then rising again, but also at the same time, this experience of the crossing the Red Sea. When people was going through this part of the Red Sea, and then after they gone through it, and then the Egyptian that represents the devil and his armies coming after this, every Christian coming to Christ, they are coming after. But this the Red Sea closed up. So that's symbolically very significant. When people come out of the water and the water closes, and so then devil has no more claim on you. So when you say no to the devil, he cannot make you sin. That's who we are. We are secure in Jesus Christ. But nonetheless, this sinful desire still lingers in our heart. And then we have to fight this fight in our life. Are you fighting this fight now in your heart? I don't want to love that person, but there's a fight in my heart. God says, you got to love your brother, sister. So we do. And then there's another language, the united. For if we have been united with him, it's grafted. So it is an amazing thing. If you love gardening, I don't know how many love gardening. In Cincinnati, Esther came to spend time with us. I have two precious fig trees, and then all these the cactus I brought in from Israel, all these. And then whenever I travel, my plants suffer because nobody waters them. Even Sister Grace doesn't water. She likes to enjoy it, but she doesn't water my plants. But the gardener, the grafting means there's a healthy, strong, the disease-resistant a tree. And then you take a branch. So if you bring a plum tree branch and graft into an apple tree, then what kind of fruit that branch is going to bear? We don't know. The plum tree branch will bear what the branch belong to. Plum is going to come out, even if it's grafted into the apple tree. So that's the principle of the grafting. But this is an amazing thing. Apostle Paul didn't understand what all things are about, gardening is about, but he knew. But this is what God did, the amazing thing. While the olive branches like us, God brought it into a true olive tree, and we were grafted into it. And then life of this true olive tree flows into us. And we bear a fruit. Real fruit belongs to not the wild olives, which is useless, but we bear fruit this real olive tree brings out. So that's who we are. That's who we are. That's why God has done amazing work in our life. So then how can we desire other things? So that Apostle Paul is asking us a question. And the second portion is, this is for those the older brothers, those long-time church goals. I'm a Christian. Some of you may have that thing. And we are so prone to being judgmental on others. And then we have a tendency to become self-righteous. We have to fight this one as well. Not only the desire for the wild living, also but at the same time, the desire to be the self-righteous. We have to fight this disease of ourselves. So do you not know, brothers? That means you ought to know. For I am speaking to men who know the law, that the law has authority over a man only as long as he lives. So he's asking question like, what about the Ten Commandments? Does it actually help? Is it helpful for the Christians or not? And his answer is yes and no. So yes part is, this law, Ten Commandments he's talking about, is going to reveal to us what is in our heart. The law tells us that our sinful desires come out of it. When you reflect upon this law, we cannot obey. We don't have a strength to obey. And that shows us that we are in need of a Savior, Jesus. That drives us, the Lord drives us to Jesus, to the cross. And then he listed this example. That by law, a married woman is bound to her husband as long as he is alive. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law of marriage. People I heard actually when I was a young Christian. This law is the Ten Commandments. So we are free from the law because the law is dead and we married to Jesus. They interpret it like that. But if you read it carefully, actually, it is not that. So I want you to put the thinking cap on and then read carefully like a Sherlock Holmes. Yeah. Go line by line, word for word. Okay. So then, if she marries another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is released from the law and is not an adulteress, even though she marries another man. So the first two, the character comes out is the law is there, the husband and the woman, the she, which is she is you and I. So there are three characters. In here, right? They are different. They are not the same. Then if she marries another man while her husband is still alive, she is called an adulteress. This is what happened when somebody is under the law. They haven't been born again. They try to do something what is right. They become adulterous, hypocrite. That's what the Bible says. So you can do many good works out of your own desire, self-righteous goodness, while you are still under the law, and you can do good things. Those people are the Pharisees, for example, and they do that, and then you become critical for others, and then you become like older brothers without this unregenerated heart. And then here we have to see clearly, the key is in the next verse, actually. So, my brothers, you also die to the law through the body of Christ. That's the soul. So, we need to come back to what it means. So, who is the husband? And who is the law? What is the law? Law is the Ten Commandments. And the law, what the law does is always a blame, condemn. That's what law does. So when you obey the law never tell you a good job, thank you. He never said that. That's law doesn't do that. But when you break the law, it will come after you. And then make sure that you pay the price. That's what the law does. And here he says, this husband is still alive. That means the law has something to say to you. But if husband is died, and then the law has no say to you, you are free from this, just like a woman is set free. So you and I can be set free from the law. Then who is our husband? So my brothers, you also died to the law through the body of Christ that you might belong to another. So the body of Christ is the key through the body of Christ. So what it says is the husband is the old Adamic nature, the Adam. That one we inherited. We are so united with the old Adam, our forefather. So we act like him and we sin like him. And then we actually behave like him all days. So much like Adam. That's who we were. That's our husband we married to Adam. I want you to discover this. So to him who was raised from the dead in order that we might bear fruit to God. So that the Jesus, actually when he died on the cross, he died as the Adam, our first Adam, husband. He died. Jesus died in our behalf. He died as me. That's what happened on the cross. So the old Adam is dead on the cross. Because Jesus died on the cross. So this body of Christ is old Adam he's talking about. Because Jesus came to this world and they put on this body on himself. So this Adam is dead. So therefore, we are the risen Lord. Second Adam, the risen Lord, we can freely marry. So we didn't break any laws. Everything God planned it out, and then as God planned it, he did. So that's who we are. So we are no longer under the law. The law does not have any say to us. And then answer to the solution to the both problem, the Romans chapter 6 and the chapter 7, the answer is union with Christ. Because Christ died on our behalf, in our place, but also Christ, he lived as me. And all his righteousness was imputed to us. So that is the bottom line. That's a solution. That's a solution for that. Then some of you may say, I have failed so many times. What shall I do? I don't even feel like I can go back to God again. I don't know God will accept me again. We may have that kind of a despair we may be in there. Because even if we have this, all this crafted, this the nature, or the holy desire, all this pure desire, we also have at the same time, we have this prodigal son in us. So that it's always the tempt us. Sometimes it's so juicy temptation comes in our way. It's hard to say no. Even though we can say no. And then Satan has no claim, cannot have any claim on us, but we ourselves sometimes give in. So that's our battle, Christian. Until we see Jesus, we are going to have this battle in our life. So we need to prepare ourselves. We are not living in a certain like a wonderland, things like that. No, the reality is we are in a bloody battle. So we have to fight this fight. In the battleground, we have to realize every moment of our life. If we take a break or idle, then we are going to fall, I know. So for me personally, I have two advice I get from the Bible. One is, when I idle, sometimes when I have nothing to do, when I idle, I remember David, King David. That's why God put David's story with Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, was there. And then while he should have been at the battlefield, he wandered on the rooftop, and then he eyed on this beautiful woman bathing on the other building, rooftop. So he fell into sin. When you idle, that happens. When you don't develop this holy habit or skill by studying the Bible, reading the Bible. Yeah, I urge you, my brothers and sisters, read the Bible every day and then meditate on it. Meditate the Word of God day and night. How long day and night? How much day and night we need to meditate? That's the way we live. That's how we fight this fight. So, if we neglect the studying and the reading the Bible, then we don't have any strength. We don't have any strength. So when you face this juicy temptation, of course we're going to fall. We're going to fall. We don't have a strength to fight. And then how our heart is divided, then of course we don't have a strength. So we need to be watchful. That's why we have a whole body. We watch for one another. Go diligently to your small group meetings. Don't miss it. And then be strengthened. Be strengthened. And then be encouraged. And then encourage others. And then learn to pray for one another. So that's our Christian life, the one aspect of Christian life. The second issue is I made a confession to God. I know he forgave my sin, but I have this lingering guilt. What should I do with this? I'm still guilty. Feel guilty. Sometimes I feel filthy. Even if I confess that I know the blood of Jesus cleansed me and he forgave me, but I have this lingering guilt in my heart. What do I do with this guilt? How do I deal with this shame and guilt? So now they go back to my brother and sister, the Gospel John. When the John wrote the Gospel John, he could have stopped at chapter 20. Then at that point, he said almost everything he wanted to say, actually. This is how we go, how it goes at the chapter. I need to go all the way down because I'm ahead of this. In the chapter 20, verse 30, he said he had a lot to say, but he's saying just only that much, is so that you may. This is what he said. But I did not write them in this book, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. That was the purpose why John wrote his Gospel John. And then out of nowhere, he brings chapter 21. That's a chapter you and I are very familiar with. That's where Jesus encountered Peter. But you know what happened to Peter before Jesus was crucified. Peter betrayed Jesus. And then he understands, he repented, he cried. But nonetheless, I know he had this lingering thought of guilt. Betraying his the Lord. That was his guilt he was carrying. And then Jesus, I think Apostle John, he put it intentionally, chapter 21, for us, you and I, to receive this encouragement and the strength. So at that point, Jesus does inner healing. Bring the Paul, not Paul, Peter, call him. And he asked him, do you love me? And then I know the Pastor Peter preached on that several times, I know that subject. And then the word love is, he uses agape, right? We know that. Jesus used agape me. But you know, when we agape as a Christian, when we agape, this love is so foreign. We don't know what it is, actually, because that love belongs to God. And then when we try to imitate our Lord Jesus, the love agape, we have to do it intentionally. We cannot agape naturally. We cannot do that until we see Jesus. So agape for us on our plane is a choice. It is an intentional choice to love. So when you see this unlovable, you choose to love. That's agape love. So it's a very hard, and then it's not like a lovey-dovey love. It is a hard love. You have to brutal decision on your part. You have to renew your mind to love agape. Then Jesus is asking, do you agape me? Because you think it's the right thing to do, you love me. That's my interpretation. Peter said, no, I feel you are my friend. I love you. Then Jesus asked another second time, do you agape me because you have to love me? You choose to love me intentionally, even though your heart is somewhere else, but you need to? Peter said, no, I feel you. You are my friend. And then Jesus said, do you love me as a friend? Yes. That's the love Jesus wants from us. As a friend, as a brother. So if you turn to Song of Songs, this Shulamite, this girl says, in chapter 2, or verse somewhere around 16, says, at that point, there's loving the Lord is a progression. At that point, she says, my beloved is mine. That's at chapter 2, she says. and I am His. And then as she understands the love that the beloved more and more, and the chapter 6, verse 7, she says, it says it like this, I am my beloved. It changed the order. I am my beloved. And my beloved is mine. That's what she said. So this, the love is a progression. And this is the shame or guilt. Only it goes away when he realizes this love. I showed you the first night I shared with you. At the cross, Jesus died naked, but he didn't feel ashamed because this love for his bride. He's receiving his bride. Glorious, glorious, the church he's receiving. So he didn't feel ashamed. As a church, as a God's people, we stand before the cross naked. Because there's nothing we can hide before God. But we don't feel ashamed because he is my beloved. That's a relationship. And then Jesus is telling Peter, do you see this? Do you see this? Do you love me? Do you love me? Only when our love toward Jesus grows, then we can actually just overcome this shame and guilt and know his heart. So, my brother and sister, we got to grow in this love for the Lord. Our situation and the fight in our heart is, I want to love Jesus more, but my sin and my sinful desire is in the way so that I fight, I struggle. That is a healthy struggle, but we got to grow to love Jesus more every day. Amen? So, Jesus, this is what Jesus said. If you love me, you will obey my commands. And love one another. That's the first thing he said. So, everything has to flow out of love for Jesus. And only when his love fills us, and only when we can stand before him unashamedly, we can have this desire, pure desire to obey him and show who he is in this world. So this is an invitation for you and I. Jesus wants you to come to him. And then stand before the cross. And then make confession. I love you, Lord. You're my beloved. I belong to you. And help me to love you more. So we got to repent because our heart always runs away from God. So we repent. The goal of repentance is to restore, to recover this love. That's why we repent. That your Heavenly Father is not interested in how many times you fail. I told you many times. But he is interested in your change, your progress, becoming more like Jesus. Only when you love Jesus and intimately get to know him, you become like him. That's what the 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says. The Lord is the Spirit. Where is the Spirit of the Lord? There is a freedom. And as we behold his face as a mirror, behold the mirror, and we are changed into the same image from glory to glory. So let's behold this beauty of Jesus tonight, and then confess. You can say, Jesus, I really love you. And help me to love you more. And send me free from this. As I come to the cross, let's make a time travel tonight. We're going to time travel to the cross. And I want us to see again my sin laid on the cross, taken away of me. And we worship him. stand before him, only covered with his love. So our shame and guilt is covered with his love. And then we confess our love. So then let Jesus pour his love to you in your heart tonight. And then we confess our love. So that we will never be the same. We are the lovers. We are the lovers of Jesus. So that what God wants from us is not a mighty work we do. Actually, it's not what God expects us to do or demands us to do. Just follow Jesus. Follow him. Because we love him, we follow him. Not out of the obligation or the intentional choice, but we just follow him because we love him. We follow him. Even if this path is a bloody path, we follow him. Narrow path. Not many walk through that path. But we choose to follow because we love him. We want to be where Jesus is. So we follow him. Amen.